that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like.
Go, give it to you.
How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience. That's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it?
Let's go, give it to you.
Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S.
Give up.
Order now at Acura.com.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Welcome to Orioles on the Verge. This is Zach Spedden, joined as always by Bob Phelan and Nick Stevens. And on tonight's show, we're going to get into some of the developments going on in spring training, including the hot performances by Kyle Stowers and Colton Cowser, who are making the Orioles outfield situation just a little bit more interesting as we approach opening day. We're also going to talk about the pitching staff and how that could shake out between now and opening day on March 28th. But first, we're going to start off this episode, as we always like to, by welcoming a new member of our Patreon community. And with that, I'll turn it over to Bob.
Yeah, we got a new patron this week. It's Kyle Goss. I would assume that's how it's pronounced. Signed up at the AA level, gets the patron access on the Discord. And happy to have him. If you're interested as well, join up. Check out the benefits on Patreon. Link in the show notes.
And as a reminder, we are approaching the minor league season, which will mean we're going to be resuming bonus daily coverage for our Patreon community here in a few weeks. You're not going to want to miss that. In the meantime, though, we still have plenty to talk about, and that's what we're going to focus on tonight. Coming into spring training, the Orioles position player corps seemed largely set with a few question marks. One of them being, would Jackson Holliday make the opening day roster? So far, that looks to be a resounding yes. And the other was how they would build out the rest of their outfield beyond the starting three of Austin Hayes, Cedric Mullins, and Anthony Santander. Heston Kjerstad, who had a cup of coffee with the team late last year, came into camp seemingly with an inside track for that last spot. And Kjerstad has not had a bad spring, but Colton Cowser and Kyle Stowers have been just a little bit better. Stowers, who has so far had 26 at-bats in camp, has belted three homers while posting a 9.11 OPS. Cowser, meanwhile, has smacked four home runs while hitting .478 with an OPS of over 1,500 in 29 at-bats. Of course, it's spring training. It's a small sample size. Different levels of competition you're going to see from a major league game, but still, both of these players are doing what they have to do to make the case for an opening day roster spot. Nick, I will start with you. This situation has gotten a lot more interesting here in the last few weeks. What has your reaction been to Stowers and Cowser's performances so far?
I mean, Kyle Stowers' performance pretty much speaks for itself. Like, he's tied for the league lead in home runs. And they haven't been, like, I know we haven't been able to see a ton of games this spring, but, or even getting a lot of games on, you know, StatCast, but those home runs, for the most part, at least, haven't been those spring win-aided home runs. Like, those are high-quality 105-mile-per-hour home runs in the StatCast games. These are balls that are home runs in 20, 25-plus ballparks. So, like, these are all legitimate home runs, which is good to see. I just think that sneaky power that we've been talking about for a while, that sneaky power that, you know, John Mioli's come on the show a couple of times over the last year and has said, you know, the Orioles think there's a lot more power in Cowser's bat, and they're trying to get more out of that. I think we're seeing a lot more of that this spring, and that power is not so sneaky anymore this year. And he's also doing it. I've talked about this before, like, usually every spring training, and I still don't know, like, how great this metric is, or like what exactly to think of it. But Baseball Reference, the opponent quality metric, you go on a player's page, and right there at the top, they got the spring stat line. And the last column is opponent quality, and it's like 0 to 10, 10 being MLB caliber pitching. I think 8 is AAA pitching. And Kowser's up there. I think Kowser's like 7 point something, but it's one of the better ones on the team. So he's facing some pretty quality competition this spring too. He's not doing it against, you know, double A arms. So I think that's pretty awesome to see. But Stowers is the interesting one that I don't know how you guys feel about Stowers. I don't think my opinion of Kyle Stowers has changed much, even with this spring performance. I think it's the same as last year. Like, I think he's good quality depth, and I think that's okay. Like, there is this middle ground between prospects like Gunnar Henderson becoming Gunnar Henderson and then prospects just completely falling out of baseball. But Stowers is this lefty bat that you can bring off the bench. He's got the game-changing power, higher odds that he probably strikes out, but still impressive power that he can change a game. And I think it's okay that he's just a depth piece. And he's been around long enough that I think we kind of know who he is at this point. I know some people probably say he never got a fair shake at, you know, full regular playing time in the big leagues, and there may be more there. Maybe, but I just think he's a really quality depth role player on this team. If he's on like Oakland or the White Sox or the Nationals, he's an everyday player. But with the Orioles, I think it's just good quality depth. But I will say this, watching him this spring, in what little I've watched of him, he's got an OPS over 900. Like, the strikeout to walk ratio is 8-1, which isn't great, but that's who he is. And the big thing that's sticking out with me with Stowers is like, he looks more controlled in the box. Like, he had that corkscrew swing, like literally screwing himself into the ground almost, kind of flailing around in there sometimes, selling out for that power almost. I think he's toned that down a lot this spring. So he does look better in the box. I'm glad he's doing this, but I don't think my opinion's changed a bit much this spring.
Yeah, I agree. My opinion on Stowers really hasn't changed at all, but it's not because I still think he's like a bad prospect, no matter how good he does. It's because I never really thought less of him, even with his struggles the last couple of years, just because he is like you said, a fringe starter on a major league team. Unfortunately, the Orioles are stacked and there's no place for him here. But as Nick said, he's really good quality depth. I think this is just who he is. He's going to hit for power no matter what. Short sample size, obviously, spring training. But this is what he did in AAA for the past 2 years. And that's basically what level competition he's facing against right now. So, yeah, I know one or two of them was off a lefty. That was good to see for him with his home runs, because we've been trying to tell Brandon Hyde that he can hit lefties the whole time. And maybe he has to see it to believe it. But, yeah, Stowers, again, I don't think he's making the team, barring unforeseen injury the last couple weeks here. But love that for his own sake, for his confidence, for other teams, if they're interested in seeing what he can do. I'm glad that he's performing well and he can go down to AAA to start the year feeling really good and waiting for an opportunity to arise for him. Kowser's just a man on a mission. I think, again, it's spring training. It's short sample size. The numbers aren't all that meaningful, but numbers aside, just after the way he looked tentative in his major league debut, and you know, the results were poor, obviously, but he went back down to AAA, worked on a couple things, put up some decent numbers when he went back down there. What you wanted to see, at least for me, with Kowser coming into spring was just a little confidence. You wanted to see him believe in himself and be aggressive with pitches in the zone, be a little more aggressive with pitches that are in the strike zone, kind of like Gunnar did after his slow start. And I think that's exactly what's happening. So I think he's still drawing a bunch of walks, but he's being more aggressive. He's batting well over 400, hitting for power, hitting for average. Obviously, like Nick said, we haven't been able to see most of the action, but between the Statcast numbers that we do have and the games that I've been able to watch personally, I mean, this is, again, just who Kowser is, but I see more confidence. I see more aggressiveness, which with his strike zone awareness is very, very key. And yeah, I think he's unstoppable right now as far as claiming a major league opening day roster spot, and we'll see where it goes from there.
That's really the key thing, is that he's being more aggressive on pitches in the zone. And I think that that's going to be, from the Orioles' perspective, a real litmus test in figuring out when he's going to be ready for the major leagues. Because Couser is not the first prospect to have come up in the last 2 years that has had that problem. The difference is that he didn't get that opportunity because the Orioles were in the middle of a playoff chase and had a lot of options in the outfield to work through those struggles. So he ends up back at Norfolk after some struggles in the major leagues. So if he's going to show that he can be on this team from day one, that's how he's got to go about it. And for Stowers, really, for me, good for him that we're talking about him right now. Because I don't want to say he had dropped off the radar because he hadn't, but I don't think the three of us were really giving him much of a chance to make the opening day roster because you're looking at Couser, you're looking at Kerstad, you had Sam Hilliard around briefly, you still have Ryan McKenna around. So it's like there's other guys that could be ahead of Stowers, especially because we know that there are some defensive limitations with him. Yet here we are on March 12th. Talking about Kyle Stowers, and for me, that's a sign that maybe he's not on the opening day roster, but you can feel a lot more comfortable that if they do have to call him up from Norfolk at some point during the season, he's going to be better prepared than he has been during his prior major league stints.
Yeah. Like, wasn't he supposed to, wasn't that the quote, I think it was Elias, somebody, who said at some point at the end of last year, he was like going to get the call up, or he was in the conversations they were having about possibly bringing him back up at some point late in the year, but that's when he got like hit in the face. So I think it's just also a good sign too, that like, this is a guy who made real improvements too. I mean, the strikeout rate was ginormous in the lower levels of the minor leagues. We've talked about this before, how he gets it to AAA and slashes the strikeout rate and maintains the walk rate. Everything else stayed the same except strikeouts went way down, which is really cool. But then for him to like get hit in the face, and like, I'm always worried about guys like Stowers and like Taylor Ward over in LA. Like, are these guys going to be able to rebound, or are they going to get the yips after this and be scared to get back in the box? I remember like we talked with Lamar Sparks, former Orioles prospect, who got hit in the face, and he said it took him what, years, 2 years or so, to get over that fear, and a lot of work to get over that fear. So it's good to see Kyle Stowers like in this position. And I don't think like they necessarily need to like trade him tomorrow either. Like, you can keep him on this roster. You can keep him in AAA getting everyday at bats, to where if an injury does happen, if you do need him to come up, you've got a really quality option down there, at least a much higher quality than what we've seen in the past. These kind of veteran guys who have hung around in Norfolk, I'd much rather have a guy like Stowers come up and do some damage for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I agree. And especially with Kerstad being limited, I'd say to right field, at least at home in Camden Yards, first base DH. If Mullins gets hurt again, like obviously it looks like he'll be back soon from his little aggravated hamstring injury. But if he gets hurt again, or if Hayes goes down and you need someone that can play the spacious left field at Camden Yards, I think you would go to Stowers before you go to Kerstad in that case. And also just go back to Couser for a split second. With Mullins' injury, he's been able to play a little more center field, which is good to just get him out there and try to prove that he can play that at the major league level. So, yeah, I think the defense, we saw how strong of an arm Kyle Stowers back to him has. I think he had like one of the strongest throws 2 years ago for the Orioles. And, you know, just a super, super solid player to have as like your sixth outfield option. I mean, come on.
Let's talk about Kerstad for a minute, because he was on the team at the end of the season, had that playoff roster spot, which seemed to bode well for him going into camp. And I would say at this point that Kerstad has done nothing to really change any evaluation you should have had of him coming into camp. Numbers haven't been the standout of Couser or Stowers, but he hasn't exactly been overmatched in spring training either. Do you think right now, and I'll start with Nick here, do you think that the final outfield spots come down to Couser and Kerstad, or is there the possibility that maybe Ryan McKenna still makes his team, or that Jorge Mateo is pressing the duty in the outfield a lot more than we expect, and now you're looking at maybe just one more spot?
Hey, do you have to ask if Ryan McKenna is making this roster? Of course he is. Is Brandon Hyde still the manager? No, I do think it's going to be hard for both of them, Couser and Kerstad, to make this team as it is right now, kind of how this plan, unless there's a move made, of course. I don't know if I see both of them making the roster. And I went into the spring thinking it was Kerstad's job to lose, just because, like, I think Zach, it was you who mentioned the other week how it kind of felt like Couser was rushed to the big leagues last year, and the organization probably wasn't really ready for him to get that opportunity. When he did, he was kind of forced there, but Kerstad's progression seemed more natural. Like, it was more intentional. That's what the organization wanted. It was all on the timeline that they had kind of planned out there. And giving him a roster spot in the playoffs, I thought, spoke volumes, because even if they didn't trust his defense in the playoffs, they still, I'm assuming, trusted the bat enough to use a roster spot on him. I think there are other lefty options you probably could have put on that roster if you just wanted the left-handed bat instead of a rookie. But I thought that spoke volumes. Kind of, it's his job to lose. I think at this point, like, you do, it's not like he's been bad. You're like, oh, you need to go down to AAA. But I do think, like, you probably want to see more out of a younger player. I know we always talk about process over results, right? But for a younger guy, I do wonder if maybe you'd much rather prefer to see, like, Kowser, him enter a spring, young guy enter the regular season, like, more like Kowser's hitting than versus Kerstad, and say, all right, do we really want you to not have maybe a great spring and try to figure out the major league level? Or do they say, hey, we're going to give this spot to Kowser. He offers more versatility on the base path defensively, as we talked about. Kerstad, both with Kerstad and Kowser, they're young guys. They're not finished products. They have options. You can send them down to Norfolk if you need to. It's a really great problem to have. There's just not enough at bats. There's not enough spots to go around for all the talent that's fighting for these jobs. Connor Norby, the quote today, the other day, whatever, was that Brandon Hyde who's saying, yeah, if Connor Norby's in another organization, he's like the top prospect in that organization. Like, that's how talented these guys are. So it's not an indictment on Kerstad. It's just, you've got to really step up for these really limited spots. And I don't know, I feel like he's going to need a big final couple, 2 weeks here to kind of take that spot from Kowser, if it is 1v1 right now.
Yeah, I think there is a chance for both Kowser and Kerstad to make this roster. I just think it's going to take a trade for that to happen, at least the way I see it. And I think they're also going to have to be comfortable enough for Jorge Mateo to play center field, or at least the corner outfield spot, because you got Ryan O'Hearn and Ramon Urias. So I think if you trade one of those two guys, especially O'Hearn, if they find a suitor that values them more and could get them a relief pitcher that they like a lot, something like that, then I could see Kowser filling that role. But otherwise, it's just like Nick said, Kowser is more versatile, doesn't have the power that Kerstad has, maybe doesn't have quite the upside that Kerstad has with the bat, but can just do more things, more well-rounded, help the team in different ways, especially if he's not, you know, if you're going to have him not be like every single day player, Kowser might be the guy you can rotate around more often, get into games in different ways. Kerstad, he might just have to start in AAA and be like that first bat that has to come up if needed. Between him and Mayo, if Mayo doesn't make it, I mean, God, what reinforcements do you have in AAA with Norby, Kerstad, potentially Mayo, who could still win a job as well? So, yeah, it's a good problem to have. Sucks for these young guys, but their time will come.
And it's not like an indictment. If Kerstad doesn't make the roster, let's say it's Kowser and not Kerstad, and Kerstad's back in AAA, I know you're going to see the comments and people are going to come out and say this, but it is not an indictment, I think, at all about Kerstad's potential. That power, I think, is still very real. Defensively, he's better than I think what most people kind of make him out to be. He's not going to patrol left field at Camden Yards, we got that, but he can still handle right field, first base, DH. He's going to be a really good major leaguer. I don't doubt that. It's just like I said, like, it's going to be, unless there's moves made, it's like, where do you fit these guys? And we're not daydreaming anymore about, oh, Kobe Mayo's this kid in low A, or like Connor Norby's this kid in high A. Like, what could they be? Like, these guys have already proven it at the AAA level. And so I'm just glad I don't have to make the final roster card, because this is an impossible decision to make.
And we're going to focus on other aspects of the roster in just a moment. But first, we want to shout out the sponsor of tonight's show, actually a returning sponsor who rejoined us last week. And for those of you watching live right now, Bob is actually wearing one of their products. So, Bob, can you tell us a little bit about what you're wearing, where you can buy it, and what else you can buy while you're there?
Yeah, I talked about Birdland Sports on last week's Top 50 episode. Go check that out, by the way, if you haven't listened already. That was a lot of fun. But I talked about the Friends-inspired Birdland t-shirt. Went ahead and bought one that night. It would look so appetizing to my eyes that I went ahead and bought one. Feels good. Looks good. I think it's a quality shirt. And you also have some other shirts here. If you go to birdlandsports.com and you go to over to the podcast tab, once you hit the shop, you can see there's a, oh, what is this one? This is why on the Verge. Oh, that's a great shirt. I have one of those. I have one of these on the Verge shirts, Section 336. Yeah, that's a podcast. You Pod Street, that's a podcast. Raise the Floor, that's a good podcast on the Verge. No, but you can just see there's coffee cups of On the Verge, Elite Talent Pipeline, Bird Notice podcast. So just cool film study too, getting in on the action. But nice to see the local podcasts have a place to put all their, you know, inspired clothing and apparel. And we're on there, so give it a look. It's good stuff. I have plenty of those shirts, and it's well worth the investment.
Did you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. X-Gone, give it to you. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience. That's our legacy. Ready to be a part of it? X-Go, give it to you. Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S. Give up. Order now at Acura.com.
Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's brand new day toilet bowl cleaner disinfects both the toilet brush and bowl, killing 99.9% of viruses and bacteria with a fragrance that feels like a tropical getaway for your senses. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
We should mention here that the Raise the Floor on the Verge shirt is actually a collector's item because it has the old dimensions of Camden Yards before the left field wall was moved back. So if you want a little piece of Orioles history and you want to promote your fandom of the show, you should check that one out. We'll go now to the rest of the roster and kind of focusing on some of the developments that have taken place here in recent weeks. Jackson Holliday just continues to perform really well. He had a grand slam against the Blue Jays on Sunday in a lefty-on-lefty matchup, a hard hit ball that went over the right field concourse in Dunedin. Coby Mayo, meanwhile, Bob just alluded to this a minute ago, having a really, really good spring at the plate. And on top of that, showing real defensive improvements at third base. This was written about in the Baltimore Banner recently by Andy Koska. Mayo adjusted his throwing motion and is now looking much better defensively at third base. And now, all of a sudden, there is a little bit less of that can he stick at third conversation going on here. So, Bob, just to spend a few minutes on these two guys. What have you seen from Holliday and Mayo this spring that has stood out to you?
I'll start with Mayo. This kid is just constantly improving. It's like slow and steady. It's not like Basayo or some of these other guys who we've seen just take these leaps. But with Coby, I just feel like it's just constantly doing little things to improve here and there. And when you look back at as a collective from the beginning of 2023 to now, he's just so much better. He's so more complete. I noticed improvement in his defense last year, and apparently he's just continued to improve that. The new arm angle, making his giant arm more accurate, that's a good thing for sure. From what I've heard from our patrons and supporters that have been able to see games down there, he looks really smooth and just like a capable, fully capable third baseman right now. So that's awesome. And then his at-bats, I mean, he's got a bunch of doubles. He just destroyed that home run the other day. And we know he's got the power, but You see him going opposite field a little bit more often. I can definitely see the swing decisions being better, much more selective at the plate. Again, haven't seen a ton, but just from the little bit we've been able to see, I've noticed that. So very, very happy with his development. And like I said, I think there's a real chance he forces the issue, and the Orioles see what they can get from Ramon Urias, and we and say, hey, we're just going to go with Mayo, Gunner, Holiday, infield. Let's go. Let's just do it right from jump in 2024. We'll see if that happens, but I think it's at least a possibility. As far as Jackson goes, I mean, that home run, that grand slam was absurd. Was like a, 95, 96 mile an hour fastball, upper end of the zone, lefty on left, just absolutely obliterated it and knew it immediately. Was cool to see a little bit of swagger from the usually just like, you know, all business Marvin Harrison type approach from Jackson Holiday. And yeah, that was a lot of fun. And I have a theory, because he only has one walk to 12 strikeouts this spring. Holiday, you mentioned Stowers, one walk, eight strikeouts. And we've mentioned, or at least Cows are being more aggressive on pitches in the zone. I wonder if it's like something they're preaching to the young guys, at least early on, just like, don't worry about, we know you got the swing decisions. We've been building that up. We want you to practice being more aggressive on pitches in the zone and just get your A swing off, which he certainly did off Yusei Kikuchi in that grand slam. I wonder if it's just like, be a little more free swinging here. Cause you see Kerstad, he's had a couple of bats where it's like three pitches, three swings, three misses back to the dugout. I just wonder if this is something that they're trying to do to get these guys, get their, I don't know, rust off of them coming off the offseason. Maybe, you know, they saw the way Gunner struggled early on being too selective in the beginning of 2023. Maybe they're like, okay, we'll learn from this and let's just have them swing as much as possible and we'll get back to our normal approaches once the season starts. I'm not sure, but could be a theory because it's very unusual for Jackson Holiday to have only one walk at this point.
Yeah, that was a staple of his season last year. And it's not just Kershaw and Kowser or Kershaw and Stowers, but Jordan Westberg's got 11 strikeouts to just one walk, but a 953 OPS. Another guy who's got a couple home runs and playing very well. A couple other guys too. I mean, other than Ramon Urias, who's just got three walks to one strikeout. But yeah, the young guys are all, yeah, the high strikeouts, low walks. And for some of these guys, like with Holiday, that's not the norm for them. So I don't know. I like that theory. But yeah, with Jackson Holiday, it's like, I've seen enough. the kid is also ripped. Watching that game the other day, like you see the veins popping out. Like dad's jeans are starting to shine through this kid. He did not look like that a year and a half ago. The kid is jacked now. He pimped a grand slam off Yusei Kikuchi. Like this, you're run. I tweeted it the other day. Congrats, you're running down the orange carpet on opening day. Like, go ahead, get that practice in. Don't trip because it's going to be a memorable day. He's running down that carpet. It was Jeff Passan's tweet here. 0-2, 95 mile per hour, top of the zone fastball from a big leaguer who had a 3.86 ERA last year, and that's a 32-year-old veteran coming off a career year. Like that's. What else more do you need to see? Like, and then he comes out the next day and has the swinging bunt single down the third base line, steals third base, drives another single up the middle. Like he's showing you the small things defensively. He's hitting the big home runs off veteran starters against divisional rivals. Like he's on the roster. It's I don't see how you can put him back down to AAA. With Mayo, the kid's evolving and that's scary as hell. Like that's he's got, well now actually, he now has, because today's game, he's now tied with Tyler Nevin for the most at-bats on the team this spring. And he has a 313 average, 421 on base percentage, 984 OPS, five walks to seven strikeouts, which is really good to see. WRC plus, like, it was 171. I don't know what it is now after today's game. But walk rate over 13%, strikeout rate is just at, like, 16% or so. Like, those are huge numbers from this guy. You got the piece you mentioned, Andy Kosker writing about the developments defensively, if he can quiet the doubters, the defensive doubters, while at the same time, like the home run was fun. He hit that nuke out of the stadium. That's really fun. But my favorite at bat was that one that Bob just referenced. My favorite at bat that I've seen this spring, we haven't gotten to see a whole lot from Kobe this spring, but my favorite one was that, I don't know if it was two strikes or not. I think it was two strikes.
Chris Sale.
And he was that off Chris Sale too? It was off Chris Sale.
The backdoor slider just lines it right down the right field line. Yeah, 1-2 count, yeah. I believe.
Yeah, you shoot it the other way. And I feel like he's just getting this heavy dose of like breaking stuff on the outer part of the plate. And he's not chasing it. He's not striking out. He's walking more. He's holding off and he's getting that pitch. I love that two strike against a veteran lefty there. Shoot it the other way, drives in two runs. Like that's, there's still this gap between a noticeable gap, I think, between who Kobe Mayo is now and what his ceiling is. And like you said, he continues to evolve and it's the small things, but they add up in a major way. Like last year was, he really improved hitting breaking balls. The numbers against breaking balls were astronomical last year compared to what he did his first year. Small things like that keep adding up. So I don't know if I want him on the major league roster opening day. Of course, we all do. Will the Orioles put him there? I don't know. I don't know if they'll put Mayo and Holiday and Kowser. I have a hard time seeing that, especially with Ramon Arias playing as well as he is. And you know they're going to keep Jorge Mateo around at least for a little bit.
Come on, Daddy Rubenstein's right around the corner. Let's just do this.
I know. I want it. I just have a really hard time seeing the organization do it. But, man, he's going to be ready. You put him back down in AAA for a month or two or whatever, and he forces the Orioles' hand where they leave no option, but they've got to bring him up. He's going to be up sooner rather than later, and he's going to be doing this at the major league level. So Kobe Mayo is arriving, and it's a lot of fun to see.
At the absolute worst, Mayo has put himself in that category that Jordan Westberg played his way into at the end of spring last year, which was you're not going to make the opening day roster, but you go down to AAA and you work on these handful of things and you're in the major leagues within a month or two and you're going to have regular playing time when you get there. And hopefully you're not going to have a lot of peaks and valleys along the way. It's going to stay consistent. That was what impressed me so much about Westberg last year, was that for a guy who ran hot and cold a lot in the minor leagues, he was a steady all year. And I think he's been able to carry that over into spring training. And I think that for Mayo, you hope for a similar trajectory if he doesn't make the opening day roster. I just don't see it happening where him, Holiday, and Calder are on the roster. Do I want it to happen? Yes. I just don't know that I see it happening. As for Holiday, I think that's pretty much a done deal. I don't even see – this is not a Grayson Rodriguez thing where you want him to make the roster, you think he's going to make the roster, but he's not backing it up with the results. Holiday is backing it up with the results. And, Bob, I think there is something to your idea that maybe they are encouraging the younger guys to be a little bit more aggressive. How that carries over into the season, we'll see. But he's not going to have, you know, 12-1 strikeout to walk ratio over the course of the year. That number is going to get better as time goes on. And if being more aggressive allows him to be successful out of the gate, then it's an approach worth encouraging.
Yeah, for sure. And I actually can see it, Kowser, Mayo, and Holiday. I do see it every night when I close my eyes on my pillow until I wake up the next morning. In all honesty, I could see them like just licking their chops right now. And we got to trade Ramon Arias and we got to just make this happen. Even if it's, I'll say like a 20% chance at the most, but then even if it doesn't happen, like they're going to want to get this kid Mayo up as quick as possible. Once I guess if he's not going to start the season on the majors on the roster, then you want to at least get that extra year, probably, as sad as it is. But I think soon after that, they're going to want to try to find a way to get him up. Maybe I am literally dreaming here right now saying that I could see it happening, but I just want it to happen so bad.
We'll go over the last part of this episode, which is going to focus on the pitching staff. We know that the Orioles have an unexpected roster spot or two open because of the injuries of Kyle Bradish and John Means. Mike Ballman, who seemingly was on the bubble coming into spring training, might have a better chance now at getting a bullpen spot. Meanwhile, it still looks like you could have Tyler Wells and Cole Irvin, who were penciled in for the bullpen previously, now go to the rotation. So if you want to look at a few guys that are performing well, one of them is someone we talked about a few weeks ago as a possibility to earn that last roster spot, and that's Keegan Aiken. So far in five innings, Aiken has fanned five batters, posting a 0 ERA. Meanwhile, fellow left-hander Andrew Suarez has actually pitched pretty well in camp. no earned runs allowed in six innings of work with just two strikeouts along the way, but still another left-hander if the Orioles feel like they need someone to fill the role that Cole Irvin would have had he been in the bullpen. The discussion probably doesn't stop there. There are some other names we could cite. Could also get into the fact that Dylan Tate so far has looked good coming back from injury. So, Nick, I'll go with you here. What do you see happening over the final 2 weeks or so in spring training with the pitching staff, and what direction do you think the Orioles ultimately take with the opening day roster?
I think they're going to surprise us, to be honest. They're not tipping their hand anything. No one's even been reassigned officially, right? Like, they still got the full bodies in camp. Like, I don't know how this is going to go. Just kind of looking through here, I will, first of all, let's shout out Cade Povich and Chase McDermott real quick. The two prospects, they're not going to make the opening day roster. Get that out of the way first. But they have combined for 13 and two-thirds innings this spring while allowing one earned run with six walks. They've each got three and 19 total strikeouts. That's amazing to see the young prospects. Justin Armbruster had a great outing as well. I don't think he's got three or four innings with no runs. Prospects are performing well. But as far as the major league spot is concerned, Bauman looked great in that last outing the other day. Julio Teheran, I don't see it. I think the first outing was really cool. It's a blast from the past name. But I think that last outing is what he pitched against New York, I think, the other day. I don't think that one went very well at all for him. Wanderson Charles has been fun, but four walks to four strikeouts in four innings. I think they're going to want to put him back in AAA, so I don't know if he's going to make it out of the gate. Nick Vespi, I think, is going to have that same role again where he is up and down, and they use that to their advantage, unfortunately, although he has looked well. Four strikeouts, no walks in five innings this spring. If you guys want to talk about Albert Suarez, I guess you can. I don't know if I'm buying into that at this point. I don't know. I think it's going to be Keegan Aiken, to be honest. And I know he doesn't have a whole lot of fans, which is like fair. I wouldn't call myself a big Keegan Aiken fan myself, but like, he's done nothing to show me that he doesn't deserve this spot at this point. As of March 12th, this could change. He could come out tomorrow and get lit up. But as of March 12th, like, what has he done to show you that he doesn't deserve a roster spot? Like, I've gone over the impressive stats, the splits and stuff from last season many times, right? I'm not going to repeat them, but like, five innings, one hit, one walk, five strikeouts. He can give you a little bit of length. I think this organization believes he can provide value as well. He was worth almost half a win last year in just 20 innings, allowed just two home runs. The wall clearly helping him out a little bit there. Home runs were an issue for him before. Struck out nearly a quarter of the batters he faced last year. I think he's in, to be honest.
I unfortunately could see it being Keegan Aiken, but I'm with Vivek here. I'm all aboard the Prince Albert Suarez train because, man, I know, just results aside, that fastball, it looks elite. I don't know what the Orioles did to tick that fastball up to the mid, approaching high 90s, but man, does it look good. Even when he didn't pitch that great the last time out and got hit around a little bit, he was getting squeezed by the ump. Metrics still look good. I don't know. I'm kind of all aboard. Unless you can start him in AAA and not lose him and bring him up later, that could work as well. But yeah, I could see it being Aiken. There's a lot of options here. Again, maybe could be someone that's not even in the organization at this point. Could be a waiver claim, waiver trade type thing like we got with Danny Coulomb last year. I'm excited to see whatever they choose. It could be Teheran. It could be Kim as a long guy, especially as guys aren't built up all that, you know, much in the beginning of the season. It's interesting, though, because whoever they go with, they're going to go with for a reason. So I'm curious to see how it works out once the season starts.
Suarez, what jumps out at you is, aside from that elite fastball, he has struck out 13 batters this spring in nine innings without giving up a walk. And it's fascinating for a guy that pitched in the KBO last year and, in fact, has not pitched in the States for several years to come out and perform as well as he has. I don't know that that's enough for him to go from a non-roster invitee who was just sort of on the roster, kind of an unknown to a lot of people a few weeks ago, to now being on the opening day roster. But if they can stash him at Norfolk, I think that it's valuable because Norfolk's pitching staff right now, if you start to put it together, looks like it's going to be a lot of young guys. So there's your guy that has some experience that could start for you there. And then he's your depth option. He's your option in case someone does get hurt early on, or you need someone to spot start in a doubleheader. You need an extra arm. Anything that pops up, Suarez could be that guy. I do feel like right now, though, that Aiken has the edge because some of the stuff that Nick touched on, the baseline results at the major league level weren't great last year, but there are signs that indicate if it had not been for the back injury, maybe he turns it around. And at least early on, he can give you innings that are valuable. Doesn't mean you have to commit to him for the whole season, but to have him possibly be able to come out of the bullpen over the first 4 to 6 weeks of the season and pitch 2 or 3 innings of relief is valuable. And even if the results aren't always exactly where you want them to be, just being able to fill those innings will help the Orioles out.
Yeah. I'm not the biggest fan of Aiken for a number of different reasons, but I do have a soft spot for him just because he entered the organization as I really started to get into like the whole prospect game. I've met him a couple times when he was pitching in Frederick, had a couple conversations with him, but like results on the field are obviously what's most important here. But they're working. Like, he is pitching fairly well. He is a guy who has proven it at the major league level. I do think he gets the initial bump there. Albert Suarez, I think, would be like, as much as I'm not fully bought in, I do agree that the improvements he made are amazing. His results are really good. The 13 strikeouts, no walk thing is awesome. I would love it if he could remain in the organization, but in AAA. And that scenario that played out that Zach laid out, I think that would be ideal because, and it's also just a really cool story because this is he's 33, 34 years old. You mentioned he hasn't pitched in the States in a couple of years. And for the Orioles to target him, tell him like, this is what we want you to do. This is what we want you to fix. Now go off and play in winter ball and go do that. And now come back in spring and see what he's doing. For him to provide any value this year at the major league level, it's something else that speaks to the pitching development in this organization is really good. And it's not just the young prospects. They can take a guy like Suarez, and even if it's just 2 months of value that you can get out of him, like no other organization thought they could get any value out of him the last couple of years. And if the Orioles can, that's fantastic. The only other two names real quickly, like I was, when the injury started to pile up, I did mention like I was more intrigued to watch Tucker Davidson and Jonathan Heasley this spring. I'm not intrigued to watch them anymore this spring. So I don't know if they're going to have a shot, unfortunately. But the surprises like Suarez and some other guys, maybe Tehran, like that's kind of softens the blow that those two guys are not impressing so far.
Yeah, I just feel like Suarez, he seems like this year's Yennier Cano, honestly, who could just be a guy that once you see him in the regular season out of the bullpen, you're just like, wow, where did this guy go? Where'd they pull this guy from? When we know exactly where, actually. As far as, oh wait, Rock Kabako just texted me, don't forget about Bruce Zimmerman. He has a shot. I guess Wanis and Charles would be the only other one I could see. He's looked pretty good this spring. I just don't know if they're quite ready to trust the command with that new cutter still coming along. But maybe after a month or two in AAA, he could get a shot.
No love for Brian Baker, making the wrestler, former podcast guest.
I mean, he's got options. So I see him starting in AAA, but you never know. Just as good as Keegan Aiken, I guess.
Yeah, he's a AAA guy.
And I guess we can't just rule in Jacob Webb automatically anymore, right? He's been having a poor spring. Again, it's just results, spring training. You never know what someone's working on, but I don't know. It's tough, especially in the bullpen, because guys can come out of nowhere in a positive direction, and then guys can be like, hey, what happened to him, in a negative direction. So we'll see.
And sometimes that can be all in the same season. So certainly proving bullpen's volatile sometimes, but hopefully that's not the case for the Orioles this year. That does it for this episode. We're going to be back later this week with the best of the rest as we look at the players who just missed our top 50 prospects countdown list. In the meantime, you can check us out on our multitude of social media channels, including Facebook, Instagram, Threads, X, TikTok, and YouTube. And while you're browsing around the internet, be sure to check us out on Substack, OrielesOnTheVerge.substack.com, and our Patreon community. For Bob Phelan and Nick Stevens, this is Zach Spedden. You've been listening to Orioles on the Verge.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, it'll be the spot for everyone. From book club to game night, the kids can even host their friends.
Whoa, it smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick Scented Oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh air wick.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.